Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Gimel. So in continuation of yesterday's Perek, when Shlomo begins to amass all the materials to work on the Beit HaMikdash, and this Perek, in today's learning, he's actually going to start the construction of the temple. And the Pasuk tells us, Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Vayachos Shlomo Livnot at Beit HaShem B'Yerushalayim, and Shlomo began to build the house for God in Jerusalem. Where specifically in Yerushalayim? Bahar HaMoriah, atop Mount Moriah. And this, of course, is a site which predates Shlomo by many, many generations. It is the place where the Akedah Yitzchak happened, Perech of Beis of Sefer Bereshis, Vayi Achar Dvayma Eila, Perech of Beis of Bereshis, Vayelokim Nisa As Avram, Vayomer Avram, Vayomer Hineni, Kachnes Binchas Yechidcha Sharahavtas Yitzchak, Valechucha Laretz Maria, Valeosham Laola Acharim Shar Eka. So God, at the dawn of our national history with the first patriarch and second patriarch, tells Avram Avinu to go to the land of Moriah and offer your son on one of the mountains, and that is where the binding of Isaac occurs. In Perichov Chesed Bereshis, it is where Yaakov Avinu has his famous dream, the Sulam Yaakov. He sees angels ascending and descending the ladder and God standing on top of him. So all of the Avos have tremendously spiritual encounters on Har HaMoriah. The word Moriah is like the word Mora, or more, teacher, instruction. Ki mitzion teitze Torah, udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, Moriah, Mora, Torah, Mora, Hora'ah. So it is called Har HaMoriah because from ki misham teitze Hora'ah Yisrael, because this is our source of holiness, this is our source of spirituality. From here, Torah emanates through the whole world. Shlomo begins to build the house for Hashem in Jerusalem, atah Mount Moriah, asher nira leDavid Avihu, because that is that space appeared. Hashem appeared to his father, and he knew that this is where he was supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash. Asher hechin b'makom David begoren Arnon HaYavusi. So we know that David bought the threshing floor from Arnon HaYavusi for the site of the Beis HaMikdash, and now Shlomo is going to begin to build. Vayachal livnot b'chodesh hasheni, the Torah counts the months from Nisan. Vayachal livnot b'chodesh hasheni, he begins to build in the second month, b'sheni, on the second day, b'shnas arba l'malchuso. So in the fourth year of his kingdom, in the second month, on the second day, he begins to build. Rabbi Adin Steinzot says, apparently, it took 4 years to complete preparations for the construction of the building. Remember, we learned in yesterday's parak how much material he needed and what great quantity, how many craftsmen and workers and overseers and quarrymen to hew the stones and to carry them, and porters and people to bring the wood from Yafo to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Adin Steinzot says it took 4 years to complete the preparations for the construction of the building. And now the Pesukim give us the measurement for the house of God. So we have measurements of the different aspects or sections of the Beit HaMikdash. And Pasuk Gimel tells us these are the measurements of what King Shlomo laid as foundation for the building of the house of God. Like the Pasuk says, Ve'ela Husad Shlomo, Husad from Yesod. This is the foundation that Shlomo did to build the house of Hashem. And how big was it? The length in cubits for the first measure was 60 cubits. The breadth was 20 cubits. And Pasuk Dal tells us about the Ulam, the great hallway, Asher Alpanei Ha'orech, which was along the width of the house, Alpanei Roch of Habayis, and furthermore, it goes by the length and the width, the length along the width of the house. So what was the length along the width? 20 cubits. And Rabbi Dean Steinzot says the length of the hall, which served as an entryway to the temple, was 20 cubits, corresponding to the width of the temple. Furthermore, the height of the hall was 120 cubits, and he plated it with pure gold. And again, remember, Shlomo is very, very wealthy, and it is no problem for him to use the finest materials, like the Pasuk says in the Lashon of the Ketuvim, Vayitzapeyu mipnima zahav Tahor. So he plates it with pure, pure, beautiful gold. And furthermore, Ve'as habayis hagadol chipa eitz biroshim, Vayach pehu zahav tov. Wow, the great house, the entire sanctuary, he overlaid with juniper wood, which he overlaid with fine gold. Furthermore, he fashioned upon it adornments in the shape of palm trees and shade. So this is not going to be a shabby hut. It's going to be a very beautiful, very opulent, very wealthy, very grand house for God. Imagine if it took 4 years just to prepare Furthermore, Pasuk Vav, Vayitzaf es habayis even yekara letif eres. He adorned the house with beautiful and precious stones for splendor. Interesting that the Pasuk uses the word tif eres. It's reminiscent of when Moshe built the Mishkan back in the desert. And in Parshas Titzava, he is commanded to make big day kohuna la'aron ochicha. And when it comes to making the priestly vestments, what does Hashem say? Lekavod uletif eres. It should be for honor and for glory. So we see this aspect of Tiferes was a crucial element in the building of the house of God back from the Mishkan of Moshe in the desert. And here we are told that it was for Tiferes. It is for glory. And when we do something for Hashem, we should do it properly. When we build the sukkah, we decorate it nicely. Sukkah na'a. When we have tefillin, they should be mehudar. When we set the Shabbos table, it should be done properly for Hashem. When we light the menorah, it should be in a beautiful menorah. There should be an aspect of Tiferes in our ruchnius as well. V'hazahav zahav parvim. And the zahav that he used, it was special gold that he was using. And it was gold of Parvayim. Rabbi Dean Steintelt says something so interesting. Gold of Parvayim, which Shlomo used, might be reddish gold, like the blood of cows. Parim, par, is a cow. So therefore it would be called Parvayim, like the blood of cows, which is red. This gold has a reddish hint, or a reddish hue. And it reminds me of today what we call pink gold. There's white gold, which looks like silver, platinum. There's yellow gold. And then there is pink gold. So he had a very, very beautiful home. And then Pasuk Zion says he overlaid the house, the beam, the thresholds, the walls, the doors with gold. And he engraved adornments in the shape of kruvim on the walls. And then Pasuk Ches, now what does he make? Vayas es beis kodesh hakadoshim. He needs to make the holiest inner sanctum, the holy of holies, the kodesh hakadoshim, where the Shechina will dwell, where the Aron Kodesh is kept. And now he makes the kodesh hakadoshim, which Rabbi Steinzelt calls the innermost chamber of the temple. Its length along the width of the house, 20 cubits. Its width, 20 cubits. It was square. So the kodesh hakadoshim in the in the base of Mikdash was square. If my memory serves me correctly, in the Mishkan, it was also square. It was 10 by 10. Here it is 20 by 20. And he overlaid it with fine gold, totaling 600 talents of gold, the Kodesh HaKadoshim alone. Rabbi Adin Seinzot says this is a huge amount of fine gold only for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Pasuk Tes tells you the weight of the nails in shekels was 50 of gold, and he overlaid the upper chambers of gold. So it's I don't want to say hard for us to imagine, it's impossible for us to imagine and envision how beautiful, how much resource, how much money, how much material Shlomo put into building this house for Hashem. What did he put in the chamber of the Holy of Holies? So in the Mishkan, in the desert, that's where they had the Aron Kodesh, and that is where they had the two Kruvim facing each other, their wings spread upward, Upneim Ish Al Achiv, which represented the love between God and Israel. So Shlomo also makes Kruvim, but they are not the same Kruvim, says Rabbi Steinzelt, as the ones that cover the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron Bris Hashem. These are other Kruvim modeled after those, and they are plated with gold. The original Kruvim that Moshe put into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on top of the Aron were solid gold. They were hammered from one piece of solid gold. These Kruvim are two sculpted Kruvim. They're carved adornments, and they are plated with gold in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The wings of the Kruvim, now it gives us their measurements. Their length was 20 cubits. The wing of one Kruv was 5 cubits long, reaching the wall of the house. And the other wing was 5 cubits long, reaching the wing of the other Kruv. It gives us the measurements. And Rabbi Adin Steinzelt says, to sum it up, the two wings, okay, of each Kruv were together 10 cubits long. And therefore, the wings of both Kruvim equaled 20 cubits, which means, if you recall the measurements, it was 20 by 20, which means the wings of the Kruvim stretched from one wall to the other. Pasuk Yud Gimel, the wings of these Kruvim spread 20 cubits, and they were standing on their feet, and their faces were facing towards the house. So the Kruvim in the Mishkan were very different. They were out of a hammered out of a solid piece of gold. It was the lid of the Aron. Their wings were spread upward, and their faces were facing towards each other. Here, these Kruvim, their wingspan was 20 cubits, so filled the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They stood on their feet, and their faces were facing towards the house. Rabbi Steinzelt comments, unlike the Kruvim atop the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron Kodesh, These kruvim were not placed one opposite the other by those, the Chumash says, upneihem ish al achiv. I'm sorry. By those, and my recorder didn't, but I turned on the volume, so that won't happen again. I didn't realize it was up. Rather, they faced towards the open space of the sanctuary. So it wasn't pneihem ish al achiv, the face of one was towards the other, but rather these kruvim faced the open space of the sanctuary. Furthermore, says Rabbi Steinsaltz, these kruvim evidently had wings and legs, but we don't know a description of their bodies. So they had wings, and they had wings that were very big, and they stood on their own feet, but the width of their bodies was incorporated within the space occupied by their wings. So some kind of very majestic, golden figure, if you will. Furthermore, what about the curtain at the entrance to the Holy of Holies? In the Mishkan, it was called the paroches, the partition that separated between the Holy, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. So the Pasuk tells us, Pasuk Yudal, Vayas es haparoches, he makes the partition, techeles, which is blue wool, va'argaman, and purple wool, v'charmil, and crimson wool, ubutz, and fine linen, vayal alav, keruvim, and he fashioned keruvim into the curtain. So there was embroidery in the curtain, which you also had in the Mishkan, by the way, and that was fashioned into the curtain. So you could imagine and understand why they need master craftsmen to build this whole amazing temple that they made for Hashem. What about the front of the house? So, Pasuk Tesva, Vayas ufnei abayis amudim, he made two pillars before the front of the house, 35 cubits long, and the ornamental capital atop each pillar was 5 cubits. Very, very grand, ornate, fantastically wealthy home that he's building to God. And now, Pasuk Tet Zion, here we go. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I hope you've been listening carefully until now. Vayas Sharshiro Badavir. He made chains in the entrance to the sanctuary. Vayitin al rosh ha'amudim. He put those chains atop the pillars. Vayas rimonim. And he made pomegranates. Now, obviously, we're talking about the shape of pomegranates, not pomegranates, actually fruit. Mea. So he made 100 shapes of pomegranates. Vayitin b'shar sharot. And he put them into the chains. Okay, one more pasuk. Vayakam es ha'amudim. He established these pillars before the sanctuary, one to the right and one to the left. And interestingly, he calls them names. He calls the right pillar Yachin, and he calls the left pillar Boaz. Great strength. Boaz is great strength. Yachin is to prepare, lahachin. And Boaz is great strength. I say something in my teachings all the time, which is that names in Tanakh are extremely significant. And here you see that he called these pillars Yachin and Boaz. Remember those huge pillars that he decorated with chains and 100 pomegranates? He gives them names. That's very interesting. But Yachin is like to prepare, okay? I need to call lahachin b'shvil Shabbat. I need to prepare for Shabbos. And Boaz is with strength. So this gives you an idea that whoever comes to this house is preparing themselves, lahachin ba'avodat Hashem. We prepare ourselves to be servants of God. And Boaz, we should have great strength in our service of God. I just want to comment on one word in Pasuk Tet Zayin, which is the word devir. He put chains, but devir. Dalid bet yud resh. So what is devir? So Rabbi Dean Steinsaltz translates it as the entrance to the sanctum, i.e. the Holy of Holies. Now, I want to quote from Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita from Moshav Matityahu in Israel. And Rabbi Zev Lev, I heard a little while ago in a shir, he spoke about this devir. What does devir mean? Okay, so it's very interesting. When in our daily Amida, right, in our daily Shmona Esrei, we actually use the word devir. I don't know if we pay so much attention, because sometimes when we daven something every day, we don't even realize what we're saying. Right before modim, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu ba'amcha Yisrael, uvitfilatam, v'hashev et ha'advoda, lidevir, beitecha. God should be appeased by us, by his nation Israel, and he should turn to our tefilos, and he should return the service lidevir beitecha. We'd only ask him to return the service to his house, meaning the third base of Mikdash should be rebuilt, but to the devir beitecha. Rabbi Zev Lev said devir refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is how Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz translated as well. The inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, he makes chains at the entrance. And why is it called the devir? So another thing that fascinates me is shorashim in Lashon HaKodesh, root words. Devir is called the inner sanctum. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is called devir, said Rabbi Zev Lev, because devir is like the word dibur, speech. Because from the Devir, from the Holy of Holies, the voice of God, the Dibur, the speech of God, so to speak, emanates throughout the entire world. So when you daven the Amida, whether you are about to daven Shachris, I hope you said Berakos HaTorah before you sat down to learn this, or whether you're about to daven Mincha, or some of you may daven Tefillas Arvis or Shachris tomorrow morning, and we ask Hashem V'Hashev Es HaAvoda L'Devir Beisecha, what we're asking is that once again the Word of God should be heard around the world as it emanates from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we went through the last pasuk of Perek Gimel here, where he calls them Yachin, the pillars, and Boaz, we explained, to prepare and great strength. And tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue our learning with Perek Dalid. I wish you a wonderful day. I thank you for learning with me. Li'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef. Kol Tuv, have a great day all.